Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
Hey guys, what's up? It is Coach Chris from the Play in Faith podcast. We are back for season two. I am really excited. We have Drew Breivogel on today, a little league baseball coach out from Chandler, Arizona, who found himself unwittingly famous from a very viral mound visit that some of you may have seen online. So I know, Drew, you've had a ton of people reaching out to you. I am so grateful you're willing to stop by. So how's it going today, Drew? How are you doing?
Blessed. Got air in my lungs. Family's healthy. Super blessed. Yeah, glad to be here with you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Life is good. So this is kind of a random chance encounter. So anyone who follows our show or knows me personally knows I'm not afraid to shoot my shot. So I'm just minding my own business, getting some work done. And your video pops up and I'm like, that is like the coolest thing I've seen in a long time. I just want to talk to this guy and find out a little more. So to give everyone at home some context, if you haven't seen it yet, you can see it on YouTube or Fox News or ABC or all over the place. You guys are in the Little League World Series. You go out to the mound to try to settle down a pitcher who's having a rough time and just spoke some truth into him like you would at any game. And next thing you know, the world seems to be taking notice. So just kind of walk me through that moment and kind of how all this happened. And then we'll talk a little bit more about your team. So how did this all happen?
Yeah, it wasn't anything out of the ordinary. Our team was rooted in Christ. We know who we're playing for and who to give the glory to. Batting practice, fielding practice, all the things we were talking about, Jesus, the one true God. And it wasn't anything out of the ordinary. Some of the backlash has been that we didn't talk strategy or yes, we didn't tell the kids what to do.
Yeah.
And if you knew our kids, that's not what they needed to hear in the moment. They were professionals. I like to call them T-1000s when it came to baseball. They were just killers. They were straight ahead, focused, locked in. I know what to do. So in that particular moment, it was just a reminder to Cam and to the infield, hey, who are we playing for, right? Slow the heart rate down. Everything's good. Have some fun. Look at how far we've gotten, right? The game's not over. So that was more of the message. When I was walking up to the mound, I'm like, hey, you know, I can see he's pretty distraught. Holy Spirit, take over. Let me give him something that maybe will help him execute this next couple of bats.
Yeah, and then to give some context, so this mound visit is the Little League World Series. So
it's the West Regionals. It's the West Regionals. So we were one step away from the Little League World Series.
So at this point, we have television cameras. So right, this is ESPN is here.
Yep.
This is like, and these kids for Little League, for context, because I know a lot of states play different levels of baseball. For Little League itself, these kids have to be 12 or younger. Correct.
Correct. Yep.
So you're talking to a 12 year old boy. Yeah. On the mound, who's just set the scene for him. So I think he had walked a couple batters, and is it a tight spot, right? Like, and then all of a sudden you realize, like, I mean, we're adults, and oof, that is daunting. Like, I took my girls, fifth graders. We had a chance to play down at the Indiana Fever game last year, so I brought all my girls down there, and no one's even in the arena yet, and I felt nervous coaching them on that floor, right? Because there's 18,000 people about to be. So I mean, this is probably the most tense moment of these kids' lives, and you're just trying to connect with them. So I know there was, like I said, some backlash, which is completely ridiculous, but for the most part, the attention's been really positive. So tell me a little bit about some of the positive and how this moment is really reaching a lot of other coaches and athletes out there.
Yeah, well, the hope is that what the Holy Spirit used me to do would have believers standing firm a little bit stronger, maybe in a tough moment, have the people that are on the fence between Christ and the world maybe take one step closer to Christ, and that the people on the more worldly side would take one step closer to Christ. Maybe like, hey, I haven't heard that story in the Bible. Maybe I'll read that one. And then the Lord can work, you know, his ways through them reading the scripture. So it was just kind of, it just kind of worked out. I'm just the man that he used. All the glory to him. I'm grateful to be a part of someone's story and encouragement. I think that's the gift that God gave me, is exhortation and encouraging people and building people up. And that's why I love youth sports, because what better age to tell them about who we're playing for and who we're glorifying than that age? Because when I was younger, that's kind of the age that I started going down not the great roads when I got into high school and middle school and early college, made some really, really bad choices. And I feel like the Lord has put me here to potentially help, and Lord willing, help kids who maybe are at that fork in the road that I was at, and I took a left or a right when I could have gone straight, or when I should have gone straight. And if he wants to use me for that, I'm all in.
Man, that's awesome. So I know a lot of our listeners are, all over the country. A lot of them are youth coaches or parents or athletes, but they are at a public school versus a private school. Now,
Ooh, that's tough.
where I live in Indiana, it is totally normal. I can't be the one legally to initiate it. My kids on my team last year were pretty devout in their faith. They were, I mean, I asked them one time, "Do you want to pray in the locker room?" And they said, "No, we want to pray at center court in front of the entire arena." And I said, "Well, that's pretty awesome." So
That'll
here in
work.
Indiana, it's totally normal, right? But I mean, for a lot of parents out there is that line where we can lead with our Christian faith and an example, but maybe not as overtly. So, with some of some of the backlash, I assume like a lot of your kids are all in, and your parents, for the most, like there is no rub of like they're not forcing Christianity down their throats. This is kind of where the kids already are, correct?
Yeah, most of them. I don't know fully all of the parents' backgrounds or things like that, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel. If someone were to tell me to stop preaching to their child, obviously I would re respect the parent. A great way to talk to people about Jesus, if you're at a public school or something like that, is a great question that I found is, "Hey, what'd you do this Sunday?" And if they say, "Hey, I went to church," then it's like, "Hey, well, you guys brought it up. Like, I'll talk, you know what I mean?" So that's kind of been my go-to when I'm talking to kids. I'll let them bring it up, because you're right, you're kind of walking on eggshells in the worldly side of things. But our parents were great. The kids were great, really responded to it. Everyone was kind of all in, and what a blessing it was. What a journey. I didn't want it to end. My prayer, I found myself praying during the season, was, "Hey Lord, they're learning about you. Like, selfishly, don't let this run end, and I'll tell them more about you."
It's quite the
So,
bargain. Oh, I've
I'm
been
the
getting made fun
worst.
of for years in our town. Like our final game of the season, just expect it's going to take about a half hour to get out of the locker room. I coach girls basketball. I run a lot of our youth stuff, but I mean, with our eighth graders, I'd coach them for 3, 4 years. I mean, we hugged and told stories about each other, prayed together, praised each other, and I think that was when we were about ready to leave the locker room, and I had him crying again. And then we paused for a minute, and I was like, "I'm just not quite ready to say goodbye." And then now I'm going to cry now. It's been like 6 months, and so I imagine that is quite an emotional moment. So I love what you told me about when that game was over, the team meeting and the huddle. So tell me a little bit about the way your players led in that moment, because I think it's beautiful.
We prayed before every single game on the mound or on third base, depending which side we were on. We prayed after every game, win or lose. And how they had it set up, our very first game, moving back a little bit, ESPN wanted us off of the field right away because more games were coming in, and we're like, "Hey, we're gonna say a quick prayer on the mound just because that's what we do." And the person running it was like, "Okay, that's fine." And it turned out that when we were praying, one of the camera guys came in like at a low angle and put the camera right into our prayer. And ironically, I had my arm around Cam. I was sitting next to Cam, and I
And
was like, "Man,
that's the pitcher for those at home. Yeah,
and
sorry.
this isn't that game. This is the first game, so this is 2 games prior." And I whisper to Cam and I say, "Man, the whole world right now may be hearing about Jesus in our prayer. How cool is that?" And he just kind of like, squeezes my shoulder a little bit, like acknowledging it. But after the final game that we lost, Mason, our pitcher, one of the best players in the country, along with Cam, was like, hey, I got this, and just absolutely was breaking his heart for how grateful he was. It wasn't any condemnation or, oh, we should have been this, we should have been that. It was, thank you, Lord, for getting us here. Thank you for keeping us healthy. Thank you for how far you took us. We are so grateful. Thank you for this group of boys. And I'm just like, I'm like frozen. Like, man, yeah. This is a 12-year-old with pretty good perspective right now.
It's amazing.
And everyone's just emotional, didn't want it to end. But those words that he said in that huddle, I'll never forget.
I think that's amazing. And I think anyone who coaches youth sports, we start out thinking maybe I can teach a little bit about the game. Maybe I can share a little bit of what I love. Maybe I can build a little character. And it becomes such a passionate part of you. It becomes almost addicting. Like, I never intended to coach this intensely in this many years. But it is those moments where, I mean, I've told the story in a few local places where we had a game, one of our late season games, and I'm like, it was a big, huge road game for our kids, a chance to knock off a school that had been beating them up for decades. And we got the win that day. I knew we had a shot, and I didn't know what to say to him. And I was like, I'm just going to give him a little bit of space. So I walk around the corner of the locker room, and I hear them praying together, talking to each other, lifting each other up. And I just walk out, and my wife looks at me, and she's like, it's like, they're ready. She's like, to play. They're just ready, right? And I think that when you broke that huddle, man, I hope they can throw a curveball. I hope they hit some nukes. I hope they play great all the way up to college and pro ball. But none of that matters, man. You won, and your team is absolutely victorious. And I just think that's awesome, man.
Yeah, I'm glad they got to be a part of it, because it's not about me. It's not about Cam. It's not about Mason. And they'll be the first ones to tell you that it's about him. And I'm just grateful that he used Chandler National and our team to, you know, glorify his name. Pretty cool.
Yeah. So I'm curious. So I joked with you before we hit record that, you know, one of the genesis of this mission was from coaching. Like, I'd spent the last 15 years, like, speaking, consulting, speaking on leadership and culture, didn't really expect to run a youth sports ministry or anything along those lines. But the more I went to these tournaments, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was coaches berating kids with, like, sometimes even physicality and profanity. And we're talking as young as 10 or 11. It was parents being thrown out of games, getting into fights. It was yelling and screaming at refs. It's kids crying. And it just struck me as, oh my goodness, what are we doing in youth sports? Like, how broken this culture is. We really need to infuse it with some joy, some positivity, and faith. And you shared with me that you had the same realization, but maybe started on the other side of the equation. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about this journey from being thrown out of a youth sporting event to being viral for ministering on the mound.
And all of Chandler National knows already, because they were all there. It was at I think the kids were like 8 or 9, one of my teams. And I never swore, I never got physical with kids, by the grace of God. But there was a particular game where I wasn't a fan of the strikes, if you know what I mean.
Umpires tend to not appreciate that.
Yeah, and I knew a lot of the kids on the other team as well, and I felt like they were getting cheated. So I just kept on, like, escalating my voice again, never swore, but was raising it and just really getting on this umpire. He's probably 14 years old. If you're out there watching, I'm sorry. And just getting on him. And I'm like, you're cheating the kids. You're making my kids swing at a. And the breaking moment was one of my better hitters swung at a pitch above his head because he knew it was going to get called a strike and struck out and is going back to the dugout, you know, super disgruntled. And I'm on third base and I have to walk. Well, I make my way past home plate. I didn't have to walk past home plate. I could have gone to the first base dugout without, but I wanted to get my pound of flesh in the moment and said something like, you know, you're cheating my kids. Your zone is terrible, everything like that. And he's like, do you want me to send you out of here? And I was like, well, it's better than watching you, you know, call these strikes that aren't strikes. And he's like, you're out of here. And I'm like, hand my clipboard to the other guy and had to walk the walk of shame through my parents. And oof. And I had to, like, take a step back and see myself, like, from the outside. Yeah. And it was really, really hurtful. So the very next – so I got league rule. You can't go to the next game.
Yeah.
But I came to the next game of the other team, and I went to the parents, and I said, and I'm like getting emotional. I'm like, hey, I'm really sorry. That wasn't who I'm, you know, who we're here to represent. And they were all like blown away. And yeah. That was, you know, that was the Holy Spirit moving me in the right direction, right? Continuing to work on me. And I think we're all guilty of that. I'm probably the hardest on my own kids.
No,
I'm a lot better with other kids. My wife's like, why aren't you like with our kids, how you are the other kid? You're great with the other kids. And I'm like,
you know, 100,000 parents, point. Just like however many yeah. listeners we have, hopefully it's hundreds of thousands someday, you know, like dozens and dozens or thousands of parents just did this because we're all like, yeah. ooh, we feel very seen right now. Yes. It is totally normal. Yeah. Yeah. It's good that you recognize it though. Yeah.
You want the best for them and you see what's best for them. And you see their potential and you love them so much that sometimes, you know, you get blinded by, hey, they're still young. We're still just in fun mode. Let's play a bunch of different sports. We don't, you know, we're 8 years old. We don't need to only play baseball. We don't need to only play football. So
I think you make a good point, and we try to make sure that while we are overt in trying to improve the culture of joy, faith, and optimism in youth sports, that sports is wonderful. We love sports. It's the world's greatest dress rehearsal for life. So we're not trying to bash it. And in my experience, I have yet to meet a parent that has bad intentions. We just express it incorrectly at times or get a little swept up in it all. I've never met a parent who's like, I want to cause a problem for this league or my child. But I mean, sadly, I'd be surprised if I make it through a weekend without seeing a handful of things that I'm like, oh my goodness gracious, like what are we doing here? So it's cool that you were able to recognize that. It's got to be a humbling moment to go talk to the parents. But then that's 4 years ago, and now let's fast forward. So what changed from that moment?
Well, the Holy Spirit comes in, and you know, you only want them to go into certain rooms in the house. You're like, hey, can you leave this room alone? Can you leave this room? Yeah, it's okay to go in this room. I'm good with that. And he's like, no, I want to take it down to the foundation. I want to take it down to the studs. And you're like, I'm not really ready for you to go in that room. And he's patient with you. But you got to let him into all the rooms. And I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. He's one of my favorite verses is Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm a firm believer in that he's day by day renewing us. And, you know, how quickly can you get up? Are you staying down and then you go, you know, pump gas and the guy next to you was supposed to hear about Jesus, but you got your head down because you're pouting about the last thing you did that you're really upset about. And God's like, hey, speak up to this guy. You got a Jesus shirt on right now. If you just make eye contact with him, he'll look at you and say something. And then you got to tell him about me. So I really have taken that to heart, because I know I'm not perfect. I'm only second to Paul because he's the chief sinner. And I would say I'm first, but I believe that every word of scripture is true. And if Paul says he's the worst, then he's the worst. So I'm second. So
we're just fighting for second place. We got we got a crowded room though, don't we?
Yeah. So the Lord doesn't want you to wallow in your sorrow. That's where the devil wants to have you, where you're not, you know, sharing the gifts that you've been in and the Bible says to be a good steward of those gifts. So if my gift is encouragement and building people up, if I'm not doing that, then I'm not being a good steward of that gift. And that's a sin. So I'm just trying to, I just want everyone to know about Jesus and what he did for me. I'm so grateful. I owe him everything. And I don't have to tell anyone about him. I get to, I actually really enjoy it. I love how the Old Testament ties with the New Testament so perfectly and all the Jesus types and everything like that about, you know, Noah's Ark. And why is that like Jesus? Well, there's only one door. There's one way into the Father, right? It's protecting you from wrath, like the flood and all that stuff. So that's all the stuff that we've gone over with our team, like the cool little stories and building people up. And that's what we're here to do as Christians.
So I think it takes some. It's sometimes it takes us to have that moment of self-reflection of, okay, this is not the right path. Like I want to do things differently. When I speak with, we're really blessed. We have a lot of Christian coaches at the collegiate level, high school level, a lot of college athletes, even some professional athletes have come on. One of the things I think is a huge misnomer about Christian athletes is, well, because it's all given over to God, then, hey, whatever happens, happens. If we don't do so well today, no big deal. Far, far, far from true, right? There's a lot of biblical exhortations for us to run our race, to strive for victory, to compete. And we still have impeccably high standards. So the way we describe it is, I am still incredibly demanding. We're just not going to be demeaning in the process. And I think that's where a lot of
Amen.
people get it twisted, right? They're like, well, if you're a Christian, then you're just soft on the kids. So you're still pushing your kids to be the absolute best they can be. We're just not berating or swearing at them when they fall short in their preteen years, right?
Right, and that's another misconception of the worldly view of Christians is that we're perfect and we do everything right, when it's just the opposite. When you become Christian and the Holy Spirit enters, you now have a realization of who you are and why you needed a savior. And people in the on the worldly side, and I used to do this pre-Christ, is I would blame Jesus for man's faults. So, oh, you're a Christian? How could you? You're a Christian, right? How could you do that? Why are you swearing? Why are you doing this? It's like, man, now I see myself and I'm like, ha people are watching you, right? And I think actually this, in a weird way, this video that's going viral, and again, it's about him, but he's helping me realize, hey, look, I've kind of like, you're out there now. Okay. If you're
People are
acting a
watching.
fool, if you're acting a fool now, like, uh-oh, type thing. So that's something that I'm gonna really take to heart and I'm grateful for, because before Christ, I would totally blame him for the actions of men and women. And that's totally not, there's only one that's perfect, and it's not any of us.
I get it with the spotlight. I think I joked around with my wife where there's a couple of games where I was a little frustrated and I was like, I can't. I am putting this out here for hundreds of thousands of people to consume. So now we got to walk while we talk. So fully cognizant that we're going to have some bad moments. There's going to be moments where you get frustrated. You're going to get frustrated with your players. You're going to get frustrated with the results of a game. You're going to demand and expect more than you're getting. It's okay to still experience normal human emotions, but there's a better pathway forward with how we speak and communicate to our kids and our parents and officials. And it may seem like just a game, but it all translates to a much, much bigger picture. So,
Yep,
sorry.
absolutely.
All right. So, Drew, so now that you are an internet celebrity, Little League baseball coach here, and I know you absolutely hate it. And when I first met you, you're like, I don't want any attention. Like, so there have been media outlets that reached out to you, correct? Like,
Yeah, there's been some big ones. I've only talked to you and another guy
that's
who
crazy.
I was
Well,
just
thank
like,
you.
look, I don't want to make it about me. If there's a way that we can make it about him and spread the word. I just know some of the other outlets will make it about me and you're the greatest coach ever and
Or the
wow,
other way
whatever.
around.
Yeah, or
There's
the
some
other way
media
around.
outlets that aren't gonna dig or aren't picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah, and I don't wanna just I wanna let the whole world know who Jesus is, and I don't wanna just only help Christians, right? That's the easy thing to do, right? Are you going to the tough spots? Are you going to Nineveh? Are you going to Sodom and Gomorrah? Or are you just hanging out with the 12 disciples? Right? So there's validity in going to those hard areas. But I just didn't feel like, I don't know, and I could be wrong. Maybe I'm playing it wrong and I should be going on those outlets, but I feel like they'll just try to make it more about myself than him. So I liked what you had to say. I liked what another
Thanks,
guy had to
man.
say. So
Well, I certainly appreciate it. I don't know that we're going to quite have the same reach as Fox and CNN and ABC. Maybe someday if that's God's plan. But I will tell you that anyone who is listening to this appreciates the manner in which you're speaking to your kids and the way you're leading. So I don't want to take too much of your time here, but obviously, so what's next? So this season is over. I should have asked. I assume you have a child on the team, I would assume, or are you just coaching because you love Little League baseball?
So he was on this team for 3 years, and then he took up golf and really kind of flourished in golf, and
Okay.
was tired of getting hit by 70-mile-an-hour fastballs, and I couldn't blame him.
Yeah.
For
Okay.
whatever reason, he was a magnet to the baseball in the box. So
Yikes. No fun.
that's what I do for a living. I coach golf.
Oh, okay.
So when I was like, wait, I don't have to pay all of the club fees and all, do all that stuff.
Yeah.
We could just do your sport for free. That was super cool. But the
That's
team
fast.
started when we were 8, and he and I knew intimately all of those kids
I
and their
get.
parents and their families, most of them. And I wanted to see this run through because this is their last year of Little League, the last hurrah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, thank you. Well, Drew, thank you so much for your time and sharing
Yeah.
your experience and your message. All the Play in Faith listeners will be praying for you and in your golf season and all of the
Yeah.
Chandler National stars as these young men head off to middle school, high school, maybe
Absolutely.
even college careers and beyond. And just thank you for doing things the right way. And again, I know that a lot of the attention was awkward for you, so I really appreciate you jumping on and sharing your story. And we'll make sure we're really good shepherds of your message and get it out the right way.
No, appreciate you, man. You're great.
Thanks for tuning in to the Play in Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit playinfaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just the voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.